Appreciate you including Chapin in on your tour. So got a lot of good things happening here. We're a 100 car shuttle loader right here on the UP Railroad in north central Iowa. And we're very happy that, again, you guys decided to come in and take a stop and see our operation here. So, you know, of all of our facilities that we have within AgVantage, Chapin is by far and away our workhorse. Barney, I think we do about 10 million bushels a year through this facility.
Compared to 12 million.
Yeah, so it's definitely our core facility. Probably 40% of the grain that we handle on a yearly basis runs through this individual location. So what I thought we'd do is go through some introductions. I thought I'd talk for a little bit, maybe talk a little bit about our operation here and what we do. And then after that, we'd go out and have Barney lead us on a tour and kind of show us around and show us what we have to offer our farmer customers at this location. So Wade Mittelstadt, who's our general manager, unfortunately was unable to be here today. They had some system meetings down in the Quad Cities today, but he does send his regards to the group and said he wishes he could be here. So I thought what I'd do first is introduce our employees that we got. My name is Kevin Gray, and I'm the Grain Division Manager for AgVantage. This is Barney Bartles, and Barney is our Western Regional Manager, as well as the Operations Manager for the Grain Division across the company. So we also have Wanda Avery back here in the back. Wanda is our Grain Administrative Assistant and basically runs a scale, buys grain from producers, and basically keeps the office part of this operation running. So Wanda is a very integral part of what we do here at this location. So, you know, if I'm standing out there, I'm probably going to ask, what is AgVantage? Who is AgVantage? And we're a company, we're an operating division of Growmark. We cover 32 counties. We have 27 in Iowa, and we have 5 counties in southeast Minnesota. So we really have a pretty big geography that we cover, and we stretch all the way from the Mississippi River clear out to Barney Alexander, probably on the west side, which is about 15 miles straight west of here. So we do cover a pretty big footprint. And our grain division, even though we don't have a grain elevator in every town that we operate, we have a similar geography. We go clear from Lomore, which is, if you guys from Iowa are familiar with Clinton, Iowa, Lomore is just right on the outskirts of Clinton. And then all the way out to Alexander. So if you jump in a car at Lomore and drive out to Alexander, you're probably looking at about 4 hours of being in a vehicle. So from a footprint standpoint, we do cover a pretty big geography, and we stretch for quite a ways. So again, we cover about 32 counties. We have 100 locations, okay? Of those 100 locations, probably 40 of them, Karen, are probably full-time that we operate year-round. And of those 40, we've got 14 grain locations that we operate, okay? Again, all the way from Lomore out to Alexander. We've got a location up at Charles City, one down at Applington as well. Corporate offices in Waverly is where we're based out of, okay? And we're very pleased to be part of the Growmark system and being a retail operating division. So anyway, that's AgVantage as a company. Looking at the grain division, specifically what we do in the grain division. Again, we cover huge geography, but at the same point in time, customer service is the number one priority for us. And we try to do everything we can do to take care of the customer. We've got 4 core values that we operate on within the grain division. We want to keep our customers profitable. We want to make sure they're competitive. We try to reduce the risk, and we want to make doing business with AgVantage Grain Division as comfortable and easy as possible. So those are the 4 core principles that we base our business off of. Karen, you asked if I'd talk a little bit about the drought, kind of the impact that's had. I know we were talking to Gail a little bit about the drought in Champaign County and what impact that's had on you. It's had a huge impact up here as well. Okay, it's interesting. I remember this fall I called out to talk to Wanda just to find out what are the yields doing around Chapin. And Wanda, I think our conversation, what I thought should have been a 5-minute conversation turned into about a 45-minute conversation as we talked about, you know, the variability of yields.
And it went from 0 to 120, maybe 150, but that was a spot of 150. And then they would see their monitors drop back down. Yeah. So on an average, maybe 140 tops. But I'd say more 0 to 120, which is very pretty good, in this area.
Yeah.
Now you can go 6 miles west of here, and just the other day, one guy said he had 175 bushels steady. So, very variability.
I think that's one word that describes the whole harvest for this year, was variability, okay? And just like I talked about, you know, as you talk about all the yields, even at just one location, you know, trying to figure out what that means across our whole geography, or even across the state of Iowa, is a big job. And but overall, I mean, I think the Iowa crop in terms of production is probably down about 20 to 25%. I think, you know, we weren't hurt nearly that bad at our locations. We're down a little bit, but at the same point in time, we came out of harvest essentially full at all of our locations. And for a year like this, I felt really, really good that we were able to come out of harvest in that position. So it did have an impact on us. Same point in time, over half of our locations were what I consider to be in garden spots. Mechanicsville, Iowa, Bob in the southeast. Domar was a really good spot. Alexander, you know, as in certain areas around Alexander, they had some phenomenal yields too. So it just really depended upon where you're at in terms of what kind of yields that you experience this year. So, you know, just to kind of get you guys your bearings, we're in Franklin County here. Franklin County is a great place to own an elevator. As I was looking up some of the yield data, consistently averages in that 170 plus range on corn. Typically in the top 10 corn-producing states in the corn-producing counties within the state. If you look at some of the maps showing, you know, how on an individual basis, county by county, Franklin County is consistently in that 30 million plus range from a total production standpoint. So it's right up there. It's in the same level as Grundy County, Kossuth, and some of the other really, really big counties from that standpoint. Same thing from the soybean standpoint. We typically average 50 plus bushels of beans at this location. So, you know, bean production is right up there with some of the stellar counties within the state. So I remember back in the day going through some college soil classes down at Iowa State. And they always talked about the Clarion-Nicolet-Webster Soil Association. And that's probably the predominant soil here within this county. So anyway, so we're in a great position to have an elevator. Speaking specifically about the facility that we have out here, the Chapin facility, what is it about Chapin that made us come into this location and build? Back in 2003, we had four different rail facilities right around this area. We were loading 50 car trains out of this location. I think we had 25s out of Sheffield. You guys that were on the bus probably remember Sheffield, up north there. We were loading 25s out of that location. We were loading trains at Coulter as well as Sheffield. Hanson. The UP at that point in time had already really put in motion going to the shuttle trains, 75 car units, 100 car units, the bigger type units where they give you 15 hours to load them. Okay. It was at that point in time that we made the decision to really get in the game of being a really large loader. And so we consolidated all of our rail loading operations from all the surrounding elevators and brought them right here to Chapin. The mainline UP is over here about a half mile. Okay, so we've got a spur that kind of runs around that gets us out on the mainline a little bit further to the west. Okay, so what they do is they bring 100 cars in on this spur, at which time Barney and Bill Scheidecker, who's our operations manager, that at that point in time, that's when our crew goes to work and they get 15 hours to load the train. Okay, so it's a high-speed facility. We're sitting in a great spot relative proximity to ethanol plants and some of the other competitors that we have in the area, but it's really an ideal spot to have a rail terminal at. Like Barney said, we handle about 10 million bushels of grain through here a year. We're really big on market access. Okay, market access for a grain company in a lot of ways determines your success in the business. And we have the ability to go into multiple different markets from this location. We can go into predominant market for us is what we call the iValley market, which is Arizona. It's iValley of California. It's going to be Calipatria. It's going to be Maricopa, Arizona, Casa Grande, Arizona. Some of the southwest part of the world that's going into cattle feed yards, into dairy rations, etc. That's probably our predominant market that we ship into. We can also take trains out of Chapin and go back into Clinton, Iowa, which is, as you guys know from Iowa, a very large corn processing plant at Clinton. We've got ADM there. They can be a big buyer of our grain here out of Chapin. So that's another market that we can ship into. We can also go Center Gulf, West Wego, and some of the market down in New Orleans. We can also ship trains into Mexico and work them into the Mexican market when that market is needs our grain. We just recently have gotten rates going into the PNW, going into the Group 3 California market, as well as the Intermountain West market in the West Coast. And if anybody pays any attention to what's going on in the grain business, that whole market in the PNW has really expanded as they try to gear up for more Chinese demand for our grain, both corn and soybean. And so we're hoping, at this point in time, we're still tributary primarily to the Southwest, but we're hoping at some point in time that the PNW market will need some central Iowa grain, and we're able to ship into that market. And what that means is that the more markets that we have, the better value that we as AgVantage can capture, as well as that much better value we can pass on to our customers and be that much more competitive in the marketplace. So we're hoping that those markets at some point in time need our grain. So anyway, we're proud of our facility here. We hope you guys see the same thing as well as we get outside and go through it. That's pretty much the comments I was going to make. Anybody have any questions or anything that we can answer before we get outside and really go through the facility?
How many employees do you have here?
Barney?
Pardon, what was the question?
Employees, how many?
At this location, 5 employees plus myself, so 6 total.
Yep.
And this location responsible for 2 satellite facilities, Sheffield being
where
it's been.
Yeah.
It's a seasonal.
And as a company, I'm not sure if I mentioned this or not, but we have about 285 employees as AgVantage. Okay. And, we're just about at full staff. So maybe a few more, once we get all of our open positions filled. But at the same point in time, we're just a little bit short of 300 employees through the company. So the grain division as a company, we probably have about 35 employees in the grain side of it. I should also mention AgVantage. We're not only grain, we're a little bit biased. We work in the grain all the time, but that's a big growing part of our business. But we're also in the structures, farmer structure area. We build bins, buildings, anything that a farmer may need on the farm, we're big into that. We sell sprayers. We're also big in the fertilizer, both dry, anhydrous, UAN, liquid, crop protection chemicals, seed. We're a very large high soy dealer, as well as the new Envision, which, by the way, they've done really good and a lot of the local yields through here, so I'll put a plug in for that. trying to think. Also, we're a huge energy company, whether it be distillates, gasoline, LP. We're a very, very large energy company. And that today makes up the bulk of what we do. But grain is becoming bigger with the opportunities that are out there with grain. As you guys all know, our farmers are getting more sophisticated. They've got higher demands, expectations of what they expect from a grain dealer. We talk a lot about the three S's, and that's speed, space, and scale. And we're trying to gear our business up to be in a position to handle the farmer of the future. And those are the areas that we really feel like we've got to expand in order to be viable in the future. And along those same notes, we do have expansion plans here at the Chapin facility for at some point in time in the near future. We've got open space. As you guys saw, if you brought the bus in from that direction, we've got some space out here for a couple of more 105-foot diameter tanks. We also have space out here that we want to put in another truck dump, a new dryer, a high-capacity dryer, and more capacity to handle not only our efficient producers, but also, you know, if we see the 300 bushel corn that a lot of people are talking about, Corey, down the road. So, any other questions?
Your rail spur primarily west, and you said UP, you're talking Union Pacific?
Yes.
And when you say PW, that's Pacific Western?
PNW, I'm sorry.
Oh, PNW?
Yeah, Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a rail line that will hook through the UP?
Well, the Pacific Northwest is kind of what we consider Oregon and Washington, which, you know, has the ability to take ships off of the West End. Instead of ships coming through the Panama Canal and into the New Orleans market, the expansion over the past couple of years has been in the PNW, where I think I've heard estimates as high as 50% expansion in that whole marketplace, whether it be new space, you know, locations that can take more trains into individual elevators. And it's a shorter haul of the grain into Japan, into China, and some of the Southeast Asian markets that we ship a tremendous amount of our grain into. So there's just a real freight advantage if you can take it off the West End instead of coming through the Center Gulf. But
you took a big yield hit this year. Are you also faced with the aflatoxin?
Knock on wood, we haven't had a problem. The state of Iowa, for the most part, has been pretty clear of aflatoxin.
There's some minor hot spots, but in this area here, FS area here, we haven't seen any issues today. So.
Good.
I know in other parts, Illinois, and in other parts of the Corn Belt, aflatoxin has been a big issue, but we really haven't had any problems with it at all. You know, we geared up. We just in case there was an issue, but it just never materialized, which is we're really thankful for. Very positive. So.
So, how big of an area do you source from? How far will farmers go? And then do you also bring grain from your other things here to load out?
We do. Matter of fact, Barney and I were talking earlier. We kind of operate on a hub and spoke type strategy here. When the UP market is our market, we bring a lot of grain in from our outlying facilities. Alexander, which is about 15 miles away, Sheffield, 5 miles away, and we can put it on rail right here. This is the railhead. At the same point in time, everybody knows the expansion in ethanol that we've seen within the state. We've got ethanol plants in Iowa Falls. We've got one in Goldfield. We've got one in Mason City, one in Charles City. And we can get into those markets from those same truck elevators from our outlying facilities if that's a better play than bringing it in here and putting it on the rail. So every day we're evaluating, okay, what's the best option? How do we handle the grain? Do we put it on rail or is it better served? Are we going to bring more value back by sending it into the ethanol plants, into the local ethanol? So so we have a lot of options, a lot of options that we're able to ship into from this location and from this company. So
how many trains do you average a year? you say? I realize it fluctuates.
Yeah, Corey, probably about 30 to 35 trains a year is pretty average.
Those being 100-car trains?
Yes, majority. Maybe a few 75s, but they're all predominantly shuttles, which we get 15 hours to load. And we've really perfected that to the point that we're loading a shuttle in what?
Yeah, about the last 15 trains, anywhere from 9 to 10.5 hours per train.
Wow.
Yeah, the crew's done very well organizing and getting all the logistics in place. So. And I've just kind of summarized for Chapin, the Chapin facility. Harvest, basically, as Kevin indicated, if we're the hub of a wheel, basically, this direction, our yields in corn were 100 to 200 bushels, the range. Fairly good, 5 to 10 miles out that way, the higher yields towards our Coulter facility. You take the hub and go this way, anywhere from 30 to 120. Lighter soil, seems like it'll catch the rain this time. Basically, we're kind of like, to answer your question, like a 20-mile radius. We go out to about 30% down from normal harvest. We started harvest basically September 1, day after Labor Day, and last week of October we're completely finished. And you can see all the ground's been worked around here. So moisture on the corn ranged from 14 out of the field to 25. You know, probably, naturally, the early corn was drier, the wetter corn, wetter. Probably, if you put it all in a basket, probably 16.5 on an average. Beans, the whole area, anywhere from 30 to 55 bushel an acre. And beans, exceptionally dry. We've seen beans as low as 6% moisture. The majority of them, 7 to 8% moisture coming in. So very dry. Had a lot of breakage in the beans this year. So, that summarized that. Now, as far as the Chapin facility itself, we have a capacity of 3.8 million bushel storage. Our receiving capacity, we have 3 receiving dumps with a total receiving capacity of right at 30,000 bushel an hour today. As you heard Kevin mention that in the future plans, we're planning on upgrading. Our drying capacity today is right at 5,000. We have 2 dryers, and the total capacity is about 5,000 bushel per hour.
Of AgVantage FS, what percentage of your overall company financial strength is the grains versus the agronomy, fertilizer, seed, energy?
Yeah, it just depends on the year in terms of you know, which segments of our business are the better performers. But yeah, we can be probably 10 to 20% of our overall net income for the company. So yeah, we're pretty substantial performer within AgVantage. And the hope is just with, you know, the yields that everybody's talking about, you know, growing and the farmer's ability to produce, that as the volume grows and as we grow our business, that we're able to grow that along with the farmer, so and what the farmer's pulling off of the ground. So, but we've got some excellent producers here. You know, they are just efficient. They know how to raise some exceptional yields, both on corn and soybeans. And as the farmer has more needs and more needs for space and handling capacity, we want to be there to service his needs. To provide what he's looking for.